the purity of the road. The white line in the middle of the highway unrolled and hugged our left front tire as if glued to our groove. And zoom went the car, and we were off again for California.
A scene from the 2012 film On the Road. It was an adaptation of Jack Kerouac's classic novel written in 1957. On the Road was loosely based on Kerouac's travel with friends across America, and it continues to inspire generations of young people to follow his lead. Tomorrow would have been Jack Kerouac's 100th birthday. Let's bring in someone who knew him. Joyce Johnson wrote a biography of Jack Kerouac. It is called The Voice Is All. Joyce, welcome. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Pleasure to speak with you, too.
And you didn't just write this book about Kerouac. You had a 2-year relationship with him that began just before On the Road was published. What was he like and what drew you to him?
He was very magnetic. He was strikingly good looking. I mean, he just was so wonderfully sort of present. He seemed so vividly there in comparison to other people. I remember the first time I met him, it was a blind date arranged by Allen Ginsberg, and I walked in.
Just one of those blind dates arranged by
I walked into a Howard Johnson's in Greenwich Village on 8th Street, and I was told to look. Jack had called me and said he would be wearing a black and red check shirt. And there he was sitting at the lunch counter. And I ended up paying for his meal because he'd been shortchanged and had lost all his money. But we hit it off right away. And one of the great things about our relationship was that we really hit it off as two writers. I was just beginning to write. I was working on my first novel. And, you know, he was very encouraging in a way that meant a lot to me back then. And I learned a lot from being with him and also from writing him letters. We had quite an extensive correspondence as he moved around.
You know, you explain how he struggled to write On the Road for years, and then suddenly it seemed like a light bulb goes off, right? And it comes pouring out of him in a matter of 3 weeks, and he writes the entire thing on a single scroll of paper.
That's right. He glued all these sheets of Japanese drawing paper together and trimmed them to fit into his typewriter so that he wouldn't have to break his concentration by stopping to change a page. He wrote it almost as the way somebody might write a poem. You know, you get sort of overwhelmed by an idea for a poem and you take that sort of rush of imagination and go with it. And that's how On the Road went.
Well, in fact, there were comparisons to Allen Ginsberg's Howl, the print version, the book version of that great poem. You know, On the Road became the Bible of something that he called the Beat Generation. Remind us what that was and why it was so revolutionary in the 1950s.
The Beat Generation was a name that Jack gave it. And originally, in his original conception of it in 1948, he was thinking it applied to people that he knew who were very marginal, struggling people who'd had very hard lives. He considered himself one of them. People who he thought, to quote him, lived from the bottom of their minds outward. And he thought that these people had a lot to teach people in general, and that they would kind of form a kind of spiritual movement that would lead the world out from under the shadow of the atomic bomb. I mean, that it was a very poetic vision.
It's also controversial, though, wasn't it?
Well, not at that time. Nobody in 1948, no one, you know, this was a private conversation. But in 1952, the friend he had the conversation with, John Cullen Holmes, wrote an article for the New York Times that was very widely read and discussed called This is the Beat Generation. And he sort of broadened the concept. He said that the beat sensibility was unconsciously shared by many, many people who were, you know, feeling, disaffected young Americans. The American dream wasn't working for them. It was a period of tremendous conformity, sexual repression, and young people were feeling very disaffected. And people talked about that article in 1952 when it came out. But On the Road didn't get published until 1957. And there was a very famous review of the book by Gilbert Milstein in the New York Times that said the book was, the publication of the book was an historic occasion. And he expressed a lot of the same feelings that Holmes had expressed in his article on the Beat Generation. And the idea that there was this widespread feeling of disaffection among young people was extremely threatening. And so it really caused a furor, and there was tremendous rage and hostility directed at Jack.
Well, he touched a nerve, didn't he? And that's probably why the book became such a hit. Yeah. How did On the Road change his life? I mean, I see that he once said, "My work is found, my life is lost."
Yeah. Well, he had said that years before in 1951, shortly after he started work on a book that he considered far superior to On the Road, a book called Visions of Cody. Because what meant everything to him was his writing, was his prose. He had no desire at all to be a culture hero. He was a writer, and he wanted his work to be appreciated as literature. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really get that with all the furor around On the Road. He underwent a lot of writer abuse, really abusive reviews. You know, On the Road was written by a chimpanzee running a temperature, you know, that kind of review. Mm. It was extremely painful for him. And he was sensitive and very fragile. So it did him a lot of harm. Even a week after the review came out, a reporter started interviewing him, and there was this tremendous interest in him. He said he didn't know who he was anymore.
As the years went on and the book becomes more and more popular, I wonder if he felt that what it meant to be a part of the Beat Generation was somehow misinterpreted or misunderstood. For example, when I read the book in the late 1990s, I was a privileged high school kid who read it and thought, yeah, it's time to hit the road. It's time to travel. You know, did he feel like that it had morphed out of his hands in some way?
Yeah, it sort of, the idea took off and sort of got away from him, definitely. Mm. But that was a process that started to happen in 1952 when Holmes wrote that original This is the Beat Generation piece for the Times. But by 1957, when On the Road finally came out, the angst of younger people had really reached a boiling point, and suddenly here was the message they've been waiting to hear, and here was the powerful voice in On the Road that delivered it.
He died so young, age of 47, 1969. How do you think his work continues to resonate today, and what would he have accomplished had he lived a longer life? Do you think about that sometimes?
I often do. It's a great pity he died so young. I think the legacy that he would have wanted would be to for people to appreciate him quite apart from his connection to the Beat Generation. People talk about On the Road, but they don't get past that. There are all these other wonderful books, wonderfully written books, and it's time for people to become acquainted with them and to start appreciating them. And for Kerouac to be appreciated as the great writer he was and to be welcomed into the American canon.
Joyce, do you still think about him often?
I do. I do. For me, it was such an extraordinary experience. I was very young, and I was with him during this whole period when On the Road was first published. And you could feel the sort of culture changing. It was very exciting. It's taken many, many years for me to keep unpacking it, and the more I look at it, the more I see things I hadn't been aware of before. It's just an interesting process. Mm.
Joyce Johnson is author of The Voice Is All, a biography of Jack Kerouac. He would have turned 100 years old tomorrow. Joyce Johnson, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.